Welcome back to day three at Build. Day three at Build. It seems like day five in some ways, right? My name's Andrew Coates. I'm here with Yina and Ryan and Tejas. Guys, we're going to talk about what I think is probably one of the most exciting things at Build that we've seen. And it's been building up, pardon the pun, for some time, but the love that the Microsoft Graph saw during the keynotes of Build and during the breakouts has been phenomenal. So what I'd like to start with is maybe you guys could introduce yourselves, tell us where you fit in the Graph story, and then we'll kind of chat about some of the things that have happened at Build. So we'll start with you,
Sounds
Yina.
Good. Hey, Andrew. My name is Yina. I'm a program manager for the Office Extensibility team. And I have been working on Microsoft Graph since the very beginning, and super excited to be here at Build and see how much the Microsoft Graph has grown over the last 3 years and getting all of the different services behind the Graph. We are now welcoming Windows, so Tejas will talk about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Ryan Gregg. I'm a program manager on the OneDrive and SharePoint team, and I've been working with Yina since the very beginning on Microsoft Graph, bringing the OneDrive and SharePoint file workloads into Graph. And today at Build, or Wednesday at Build, I guess, we brought SharePoint Sites into the Graph as well for the first time, which is really exciting to be here and share that news with everyone.
Hi, thanks, guys. And I'm Tejas. I'm a program manager on the Project Roam team in Windows, and we're really, really happy because we're now a part of the MS Graph. So having Windows there is really, really exciting for us. And talk a little bit more about kind of what we're doing with regard to device and activities in MS Graph.
That's really awesome. And look, as I said, the Graph has had a heap of love. Microsoft Graph has had a heap of love here at Build. Yeah. I want to take a little step back because occasionally I still get asked, what is the Microsoft Graph? So can you give us like the 2-minute elevator pitch?
Absolutely. So basically the Microsoft Graph is the API endpoint for accessing data in the Microsoft Cloud, for both consumer and commercial users, and data across Office, across Windows, and all of the family of products that are part of the Microsoft Services Cloud. You can find data from, you know, the user's profile information that is coming from Azure Active Directory, or their content like files and documents coming from SharePoint and OneDrive, or their calendar and messages coming from Exchange. All of this information is just part of the graph, and the number of services that participate is just exploding. So OneNote, Planner, OneDrive, SharePoint, Exchange, Outlook, Windows, soon to be Dynamics as well. Right. So it's just like, you can think about it as the API for Microsoft.
And the cool thing is it's not just about reading as
no,
well, right?
No,
it's complete,
everything.
Most things have got a complete CRUD interface.
Yes.
Yeah, which is super exciting. And you know, it brings a bunch of really useful pieces. A single place to sign on. You only need a single token, and it consolidates the APIs that have been available in lots of different places down into a single place. Yeah, it's in terms of my customers and partners, we're seeing a heap of uptake, and people are very excited about being able to get at the graph in an easy way. We did get lots of love, as I said, in the Build keynotes and in your breakout session, and you've got a tech talk in a moment. Tell us a little bit about what the exciting things about Graph were at Build this year.
Wow, the list is long.
Yeah.
We have new data sets. Like Ryan just mentioned, SharePoint is coming to
SharePoint
the Graph.
It's finally available in the GA.
Generally available, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And lists and list items in beta still.
And that's right. We updated the list and list item API in beta as well. So there's now an easy way to get to SharePoint list content across the board.
Awesome.
And you get to files across the entire SharePoint ecosystem now, which is for the first time.
Cool.
Yeah, it's great.
We also have announced the general availability of the Planner APIs to allow you to create plans and tasks that interact with all of the capabilities of Planner, and also the OneNote APIs that allow you to use the OneNote APIs for both consumer and commercial users and interact with notebooks and notes and pages and sections in your OneNote file. So
one of the really exciting things I thought about Planner was that that's the only API to get the Planner, right? Graph is the single way of doing things, whereas some of the other APIs are built on top of the existing REST endpoints. But Planner and I guess Teams as well
has gone into preview in Microsoft Graph. It's also the case.
Graph only, and I think that shows this direction that Microsoft is really adopting. Really, really exciting.
There's also we're you know doing all of our new API work now inside Microsoft Graph. So even like on OneDrive and SharePoint, where we have other API endpoints, we're really focusing on bringing all the new functionality into Graph first.
Because I used to say to people, you know what, Graph is eventually going to have everything, but if you've got something really new, you're going to have to go to the actual product endpoint. But that's not the case anymore.
No. Nope. That was the case maybe 2 years ago. Right now, it's really all of the different products are leading in with Microsoft Graph. And for the more established products like SharePoint and OneDrive, they're an exchange, their deltas are barely minimum. Maybe in SharePoint, we have a little bit more of work to do.
We have a lot more work to do in SharePoint. I mean, we have 20 years of APIs to bring forward, but we're getting there.
But for Azure Active Directory, for Outlook, Exchange, and for OneDrive, they're definitely we're leading with Microsoft Graph already. Yeah.
Cool. And the other one we saw a lot of was this Project Roam. So tell us a bit about what Project
let's
Roam
talk
is.
About Project Roam a little bit. All right. So for Project Roam, really what it's about is enabling seamless experiences between your devices. So often there's a lot of silos between your devices today, and we're just trying to break down those barriers. And it's really consists of two things. So one entity that we introduced inside of MS Graph was a device entity. And what that is this a reflection of your personal device graph. And oftentimes, you know, you go from device to device, but you're kind of always having to reboot yourself into these experiences. Mm-hmm. And what Project Roam is designed to do is really kind of smoothen out those experiences. And whether you're running on an iOS device, Android device, and of course Windows, we just want to break the barriers down and kind of make a really more personal experience around the data that we can now use in MS Graph in the cloud to really transition those experiences over for you. So that's one part of it. And the second key part of it are activities. So that's the second entity we are introducing inside of MS Graph. And what that really is about kind of capturing user engagement. So for instance, if you're actually watching a video or working on a file, it's not that you're working within the program, it's kind of giving you more context to what you are doing. So really, with activities and in conjunction with the devices entity, once you go from one device to another, those experiences will catch up with you. So
when you say they'll catch up with you, are you saying that they'll automatically do that, or is it a developer experience then to say, I'm gonna write to the graph to say, this is where I am on this device or this experience?
Exactly. So what you'll be able to do is to say, within the graph, using the activities entity, you'll be able to write that activity data for a particular user, and then when that user goes back to your application on another device, they'll be able to re-engage to exactly where they were before. Okay, nice. And we also offer other items kind of along with the devices as well, which is to say, hey, if I'm on a phone and I'm in my application, it can detect that there's other devices around you that may be better suited for what the task that you're trying to complete, and being able to transition those experiences onto another device without having to close down go back in, log in, and start everything up again. So
that's
it's really
exciting.
Kind of make it more seamless and more personal using the MS Graph for users.
That's very, very cool. Yeah. And is that are you looking at building that into the subsequent versions of Windows? So the Windows experience will do that automatically? Is that how that
works? So the great part is our APIs are actually available right now for the devices portion of it.
Cool.
So if you're a developer, we actually have SDKs that you can kind of go through and build the client experiences on Windows, but the other key part is via MS Graph. Now, if you have a companion experience that's on the web, so for instance, a lot of applications, they have websites that are complementary to it. Now you can create a symmetrical experience from the web using MS Graph as you would using kind of the hardcore client SDKs that are on there. And, you know, it's a really simple thing, so it's not really hardcore. It's actually just three simple kind of motions that you really have to learn about Project Roam when you're talking about devices. It's really all about discovering the devices that are around you. And then once you discover those devices, then it's a matter of, for instance, launching an application onto the device and then subsequently messaging that application to kind of give you that point of reference that you want your users to be at within that application.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other piece of the Microsoft Graph that we haven't talked about yet is the Intune piece.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe not the other piece, but another piece we haven't talked about yet. So Intune is something that people don't necessarily think of as a developer interface, but now that there's a way of interacting with Intune through the Microsoft Graph, mm-hmm. I can see all sorts of opportunities for that.
Yeah, it's a capability to manage devices in the organization for both corporations and educations as well, and there's a enormous amount of APIs from Intune available in the Microsoft Graph. And they're in preview right now, and they're working to get their APIs generally available very soon.
Very cool indeed. So I guess we've talked about some of the announcements we've made here. Going forward, what else are we doing with Graph?
Well, more data. More of the products within Microsoft are folding in into the Microsoft Graph, which is super exciting, and more capabilities as well. At Build, we're announcing several of them. So we announced support for JSON batching, mm-hmm. which allows you to specify multiple requests in a single HTTP call.
Right.
We announced also support for Delta Query that basically allows you to create a Delta token, and then just get the changes from the subsequent API calls.
Let's drill down into that a little bit. Delta Query to me is another super exciting, super important part of Graph, because it means that you can be far less chatty, far less involved in how much data you've got to pass back and forth every time you query the graph. So tell us a bit about that.
And it's combined with webhooks. It is the super easiest way to track changes in the Microsoft Graph. So basically, you start by creating a delta, a call to the delta function, and you get back a token that is the delta token. And that basically represents a state of time of that particular data set. So it could be email, or it could be users, or groups, or contacts.
I was going to say, a concrete example works really well here, right?
Yeah, exactly. So for example, say you, in your inbox, you make a query to the Delta function.
You might have an application that is not using the actual Outlook inbox. You're displaying email in your own app somewhere, or a directory structure, or something like that. Yeah, and so you can query the directory the first time and get everything. But you also get back a token that says, that was the state at this point in time, yeah?
Yep, exactly. And then what you do next is you create a subscription to get a notification the next time that changes, right? So once you create the subscription, you get notified. It's basically a webhook. Mm-hmm. And once you get the subscription, you take the Delta token that you got, go back to the Microsoft Graph, and the response of that call is going to be just the things that change. So you don't
have to be constantly syncing or calling.
Yeah, since the last time you called. Yeah. So it's pretty cool capabilities. And we support it across users, groups, messages, calendar files. Also, well, as I mentioned, files.
Files, yep.
Yeah.
And I think the really exciting thing about Delta Query is that it means that you can have something that's getting updated a lot. And you might only get notified every 5 minutes. And you'll just get the things that have happened in there for 5 minutes.
Just that change.
And yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
It allows you to be a lot more efficient in how you call the graph.
Right.
Because you don't have to bring back all of the information on items that hasn't changed. You can just get the information that has changed and adds or deletes and that sort of stuff.
Right.
And another one is extensions, which is huge.
Yeah.
Just the ability to bring your own data into the graph. And we have two different type of extensions. One is OpenType extensions, which is basically a key value pair that you can annotate on users and groups and messages and calendar and contacts. And it's a very simple unstructured set of data. And the other one is schematized extensions, where you define the schema and then you can stamp that schema on multiple resources in the graph. So it's pretty awesome functionality to be able to bring your own data into the graph, and then make queries based on that data.
I was going to say, so then you can filter based on those schema.
Yeah, you can filter, and you can do filter, you can do extensions based on that data, and then get all of the responses based on that, on the extensions.
Cool. We've got a few questions coming through, which is awesome. Victor asks, is MS Access in Graph?
No, the answer for that one is not. Access... So we continue to invest in Access as a product where you can manage your data. And actually what we're doing is enabling capabilities in Access that allow you to use an OData-based connector that allow you to bring data in MS Graph into Access.
Right.
Right.
So you can go into Access, but not you can't use the graph like you can with Excel.
Yes.
So the Excel has a REST API and a graph.
Yes. Yes, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yes, very cool.
With the Excel REST API, you can access the workbook, the worksheet, you can access tables and charts, and use all of the Excel calc engine. You can just call all of those functions, basically making an HTTP request to the Excel REST endpoint.
Yeah, there's actually a really cool demo that I did as part of my breakout session on Wednesday
uses
Delta webhooks and the Excel API to bring data real-time into your Excel workbook as you're working on it.
So check out Ryan's Wednesday session, which will be available on Channel 9 right now.
It's already available.
Bill Walter asks, for people registered for the Windows 10 Insider program, has Project Rome been exposed? And if so, how do I get to it?
Sure. So we're exposed we came out in the creators update.
Right.
If you're in the insider preview right now, those APIs should be available. And the namespace that you want to look for is the remote systems API.
Okay.
So that's one part of it. Also, we announced another set of APIs yesterday, which is called remote system sessions. And that's also going to be enabled inside of the insider preview builds soon.
Excellent. Now, the other thing that we saw in the keynote was the new settings piece for your phone, which I guess is where Project Rome is going to plug into in the fall creator update.
So can you remind me what that experience?
So is? there's in the settings panel and on panel. In Windows, there's a devices or a phone setting now, and
right.
I'm guessing that's going to get lit up in the fall creators update.
I believe so, yeah. But I'd have to kind of get back and check. Yeah.
And Bill also asks, is there a hands-on lab or other training presentation for Microsoft Graph?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There is plenty. Like if you are here at Build, right there on the quick starts, we have multiple hands-on labs for Microsoft Graph, and then also on the website. So if you go to dev.microsoft.com/graph, you're going to find all of the information about Microsoft Graph. You're going to find our beloved Graph Explorer tool, which allowed you to interact with all of the APIs. You're going to find links to the SDKs. We have SDKs in multiple platforms, in .NET, in JavaScript, in PHP. You're going to find code samples. There's a link to our GitHub organization, and there's
heaps.
You know, a lot of
Australia.
a lot of repos that we have there with code samples in multiple languages, and there's a lot. And then there's also in the website we have a quick start, which basically in less than 2 minutes you can get an application running. Like you can choose among 9 different platforms, and then
right.
you'll have your app running, connects to the graph, signs in the user, already has all of the configuration there, and super simple to get started. Yeah,
it's very exciting. I want to drill down into the Graph Explorer a little bit, because this is something that I think if you haven't played with the graph at all, then the Graph Explorer is a great way to get started, particularly for a developer.
It is.
Because it allows you to do these HTTP posts and patches and deletes and so on.
Everything. It supports all of the verbs. So you can do get, patch, post, put, delete. So you can, all of the operations you can do in there. You can try it with, we have a demo account.
It's a sample data set. That's
fantastic.
Yeah,
so you don't need to start with your own account. Obviously, there are some restrictions on, you only are able to read data.
Yeah.
But then if you sign in with your account, whether it is your personal account in Microsoft Outlook.com or Hotmail.com, or it is an Office 365 account or Azure Active Directory account, you can sign in and get access to all of the data for that particular user across all of the things that we have discussed that are part of the Microsoft Graph.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you don't have a developer account, then dev.office.com/devprogram
yeah.
and sign up. And which we've also recently enabled for 25 accounts rather than one.
Which is a huge improvement.
It's enormous.
Right?
As a developer, that made a big difference to me.
Like really, if you want to develop against the Microsoft Graph, go to dev.office.com, sign up to the preview program, to the developer program, and you're going to get an Office 365 tenant with 25 users and the ability to just use that for your development purposes.
It's very cool indeed. I love it a lot. Anil asks, can the Microsoft Graph be used in Xamarin apps?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the Microsoft Graph is a REST endpoint, so...
Yeah, you can use it in any language you really want to. Yeah.
But the cool thing is that there's an SDK, .NET SDK, that you can use in Xamarin. Yep.
Yeah, there is a .NET SDK that's based on .NET Core that you can use in Xamarin.
It's just been updated?
It's recently been updated with all of the updates that we did to Microsoft Graph, so you can use the SDK in any Xamarin project to build your mobile applications.
And of course, while we're on the SDK, it's not just in .NET, there's a bunch of others as well.
No, we have JavaScript.
Yep.
That
finally.
Has, yes.
Now really they're good. Generally available.
Yeah. It has TypeScript definitions as well.
Yep.
So if you're in Visual Studio Code, it can give you full intelligence. It's pretty awesome for all of those JavaScript and Node developers there. Like, I totally recommend that you check it out. You can find the link from the website as well. We have PHP. We have Android. And we have iOS, Python, and Ruby in preview as well. So there's plenty.
There's a bunch coming up.
There's also the new authentication libraries that we're releasing to make auth really simple so that you don't have to deal with all the sort of challenges and complexities with dealing with auth on your own. You can now just pull in the MSAL library and have the SDK take care of a lot of that complexity.
Yeah. So the MSAL's been in preview on .NET for a little while now. Apparently we've updated that one, and now we've got a bunch of other languages as well.
That's right. It's still in preview, but it's now a production-supported preview, so you can actually take it into production with your real applications, and we'll support your use.
And it makes it's great. If you haven't used the MSAL stuff, it makes it really easy to pop up that auth dialog, to get the token back, and to use that token all the way through the graph calls. So, and there's some great samples of that.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the samples from my breakout session uses a JavaScript single-page app, and it's just 3 lines of code to be able to get back an auth token and call Microsoft Graph.
No, and for us, and even in Project Rome, as we're kind of getting onto the MS Graph to really explain the concepts of Rome, getting started using MS Graph is the fastest way to explain the concepts, because you're not really going into the internals and the nitty-gritty. You're just giving the simple concepts of, hey, you want to do a get devices, Hey, you want to post a command. Hey, you want to see the status of that command. And it's a really quick and easy way, kind of across all the different services, to really understand the essence of what they do and how you can integrate that within your own applications. And it's really, really awesome.
While we're talking about Project Rome, traditionally, the Graphs looked at endpoints that are Azure Active Directory authenticated. Of course, now we do Microsoft accounts as well. Is Project Rome both consumer and Azure Active Directory?
Yeah, so we're going to first start off on the consumer side. So we're going to start off with Microsoft account, but over the next few months, we'll be adding support for AAD as well.
Cool. Yeah, that's really, really neat. We'll keep going with our question. So Ben says, does Graph include Visual Studio Team Services info and notifications?
No.
No, not yet.
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, you know, as much as popular as MS Graph is here, and it's great to see everybody jumping on board, it's still early in our development across Microsoft. Yeah. And we're, you know, constantly trying to get feedback on what the right workloads are to bring into Graph next and how we can make the best impact. So
user voice.
It's great to hear feedback. Please go to the Microsoft Graph.
That's an awesome point, actually. Yeah. If you do have feedback about what features you'd like to see in the Graph, then go into the user voice forum and put that in there. And I say this every time I do an Office Dev presentation, and now every time I do a Graph presentation, the user voice stuff is remarkably important when you guys are doing your triage of your features.
Absolutely.
I've seen a couple of these triage meetings where user voice is front and center, and people want to know what's at the top of the user voice queue to see whether we should be putting that into our sprint this time.
Yeah. We're really not sending you to a dead end when we send you to user voice.
It's not the black hole.
Right, yeah. It's a thing that we look at, you know, daily even in some cases to just see what's going on and what the pulse is and what's important.
So user voice for feature requests and definitely for questions during development, Stack Overflow.
Stack Overflow.
We're super active
on Stack Overflow. Graph tag on Stack Overflow is another one of those.
It's Microsoft Graph.
Microsoft
tag.
Graph. Yeah. Microsoft Graph. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Very cool. So Dennis asks, are all of the Graph API features for Office 365 accounts also available for consumer OneDrive accounts?
That is a great question. Nearly all of the features that are available in Microsoft Graph on the SharePoint and OneDrive side are available for consumer OneDrive as well. There's actually a few bonus features that are available for consumer OneDrive as well, like the app folders feature, which is only available for consumer accounts right now. And that gives you a little home inside OneDrive where you can store your application files without cluttering up, say, the root of somebody's OneDrive.
Yeah, app folders are amazing, actually. It's not as a developer, it's something that I kind of discovered by mistake. But if I've got an app, I can actually say I want to write all my documents into a folder specifically for that. I mean, I did a similar demo to what sounds like you did with the Excel one, and just writing, you can just write directly into this folder. It's just like a well-known folder name.
It is, yeah.
And it's perfect because you can guarantee it's going to be there.
There's two other advantages too. So if the user moves that folder around in your OneDrive, you don't lose track of it because we keep track of that reference for you. And there's a specific permission scope that you can use to say only give me read-write access to the app folder.
Nice.
So that means your application can be more trustworthy. It doesn't have access to everything that's stored in OneDrive. It only has access to that one folder.
Cool. So definitely check out app folders. Worthwhile. Pascal wants to know if he can send a notification using the Microsoft Graph.
You can subscribe to notifications.
Right. So you can you can get notified when something changes in the Graph.
Changes. Yeah. Yes.
And so it'll can trigger a webhook.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But
with Project Rome, you can cross send device notifications.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Right. So, and it depends on the type of application you're developing. So obviously for web, you're going to go with the webhooks. But if you actually want to activate something on the device, then you can actually wake up the device, launch the application, and go from there. And we use the Windows Notification Service is kind of as a part of Project Rome to actually provide those device notifications.
Nice. And have we asked? I think we've answered all those questions now. That's great. Yina, we've got a couple of minutes, or four or five minutes left, and I did want to quickly touch on something that's perhaps not Graph, but was super exciting in the keynote session. And indulge me for a minute, the awesome stuff around the PowerPoint Translator app.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that and how it came about and the sort of cool stuff that you're seeing.
Well, it was just, it's amazing to see the integration of technology to solve real life problems. Right after the keynote, I saw a tweet from some person that was saying, hey, I'm going deaf, and this is a life changer for me. So that was such an impactful moment where it's not just like the moment and the demo. It's like how this technology and how combining the data that we have and the products that we have actually help us make a change. And it was super exciting for me.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the demo, then definitely go across and have a look at the end of the day one keynote. Pretty much the end of the day one keynote.
The last two demos were the ones that I did. Yeah.
And look at the PowerPoint Translator demo. It is phenomenal stuff. Just the speed, and I think the thing that blew me away was it was so quick to do that translation. Mm-hmm. And you need to be that quick to do real-time translation, otherwise you lose the context.
Yes.
But it's all there, it's great.
It's also really cool that all of our breakout sessions have been closed captioned using that same technology.
Right.
So people who are hard of hearing or deaf can still follow along with our sessions.
Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Yeah. Bill's got one more question that we asked about the Graph. I have many Microsoft accounts and constantly get them confused. Does Graph Auth have problems when I have many Microsoft accounts?
No, there is no problems with that. I mean, when you're calling the Graph, you're calling with a specific account,
right?
Yeah. If you want to call with a different account, all you need to do is go back to the token endpoint to get a token for that new user.
Right.
And then you will be able to get that data. And in your own application, you can merge it together.
So Graph will never be confused.
Yeah. No,
Graph. You might still be confused, Graph has Bill, but...
The token that is presented to the Graph endpoint is a single user.
Right.
AAD does help try to solve some of those problems, too, by allowing you to be signed into more than one AAD account at a time.
Right.
So when you get to that login screen, you can see the accounts that you're previously signed in with and be able to pick one of those. And
That's
and
true, actually. Yeah. The MSAL library exposed that because just AAD... I also often get questions about, you know, how do I do things like configure multi-factor auth for my application? And I say, you just got to use...
Just use the library.
Just use the library. It's all there. And you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. That's the exciting bit for me.
For multi-factor auth, for conditional access, and all of these different things, the libraries, that's the beauty of the Microsoft authentication libraries, that they handle all of those flows for you.
Right.
So all you need to do is just get your library into your project, and
the library just passes
the library
off
takes
to the,
care of it for
whatever
you.
It needs to do.
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, OAuth 2 is a well-known protocol. It's really easy to go implement that. What do I need the library for?
Yeah.
And it's all of these advanced scenarios, right? Like, yes, OAuth isn't that hard to implement, but then doing device auth and trusted auth and all of the different advanced scenarios that enterprises really need, that's where the library comes in. It makes it easy.
Cool. So we've got like 1 minute left. I'd like to spend 20 seconds with each of you saying what was your favorite moment from Build and what are you looking forward to seeing next? We'll start with you, Tejas.
Well, for me, it was actually the keynote yesterday with Joe Belfiore kind of going over the timeline features and kind of the pick up where I left off. And for us, it's really kind of now finishing off kind of the feature set for the creators update to make sure that activities are working, developers can actually get that engagement going within their apps, and now they can see how these experiences can transcend devices for them. So yeah.
My favorite moment really, I think, has just been the diversity that I've seen here this year. Compared to previous years, I feel like there's a much better mix of genders, there's a much better mix of ethnicities. Like, there really are people representing the entire world here at the conference and from Microsoft sort of talking about our technology. And I'm really proud to see that from our company.
Yeah, I have to second that one. I was just looking at the keynote presentations, and we were having this conversation yesterday, which is like the amount of women that presented and the demos at the keynote and the presentations. And it was not just, they're all that members of the engineering teams that are actually doing product development. So that is pretty powerful.
That's very, very
cool. And, the comment I made about PowerPoint is another one that it was a very good, nice moment to me to see, like, oh my gosh, this all of this technology and the impact that it has.
Well, that's awesome.
And of course, getting Microsoft Graph mentioned everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's like, I got to be excited about that.
For me.
So, folks, thanks so much for coming on today. I'm really excited about the Graph. And if you've got more questions, then definitely jump on Stack Overflow, jump on the User Voice site, and go and check the Graph out. So, Tejas, Ryan, Yina, thank you very much. Yeah. And we'll see you back after the break.
Go to dev.microsoft.com/graph.